office or their system, which may not be a system that's easily accessible. I mean, Donna's office couldn't go to the sheriff's department and pull their police reports.
We wouldn't even know what was legal to release and not legal to release.
And probably wouldn't know how to access their system and search it and identify those records. So, I mean, there does still have to be a cooperative relationship between each office holder and the county clerk's office in this formal PSR situation.
With most offices, we have a certain person that accepts the request from us. Like planning and zoning, it's either going to be Presley Gozor or Marla Pierce that we, when we receive one. And 9 times out of 10, they already know it's coming, so they're waiting on it. Sheriff's office, they have a certain person that handles all of their public service requests. And if we receive something for them, we normally will send it to them and to Nikki, just in case it's going to involve the county. And she'll do, Nikki does with it what Nikki does with it. I think she probably sends it to you a lot of times. So, and that's just to keep us from putting our foot in our mouth and getting in trouble.
Yeah. Well, you all, I mean, unlike maybe some guys who don't get as many PSRs as you all do, I mean, you all know that you've got to respond within 3 days, right?
Yes.
I mean, I never have to say that.
Responding to the...
The initial request.
The requester is not completing the PSR. It's letting them know where we are at with the PSR, or it is a completion of it. You know, depending on the PSR. So I just wanted to make sure that everyone knows that. So whenever we send a PSR to another office, with planning and zoning, they normally respond within the next few hours, and they will CC us if they're sending information to it. That way we know it's been taken care of. But we got to know prior to that three days when we received it, which we normally will get it to the office within an hour or so of receiving it. So we got to have it back so we can talk to the customer where you're at, where everyone is at on that PSR. That way we're not over the time limit.
The system that we have actually will send us an email if we've gone past the 72 hours. So it alerts us. I think it comes before 72, doesn't it?
Sometimes.
So it reminds us, you know, did you take care of this? You know, we may have just not get paid or sent or something, but it does remind us. It's very helpful. Because like you said, a lot of times we're turning this over to other offices to gather the information so that we just shoot an email to them, hey, you're past the deadline, you got it done.
And then I assume you coordinate on how long do you anticipate being able to gather the documents,
exactly,
and us being able to respond so that you can let the request
part? We ask how much it's going to cost in advance so that we can get a deposit, because I can't tell you the number of times that we've had people request information, they never come to get it. We got them in a box.
I got a couple maps over there right now.
Yeah, and they just don't show up to get it even though we've gotten to the trouble to make it. So if it's going to cost very much, we always ask for a deposit, and we don't do anything until we receive that deposit.
Which is permissible. I mean, that's
yes.
What I always recommend that the counties do, or any public.
If it's going to be $20 or more, then a lot of times, especially if we've had somebody we know that doesn't pay, you know, and we're sitting there holding it. Certain things, we automatically know that they're just causing us work. And everybody does know that you have to charge the lowest amount of the person that can do it. So can't use Susan's rate of pay. Whoever can do it, in other words, if there's somebody on the office who can't do it, obviously you would use their rate of pay. But it's the lowest rate of pay for whoever is capable of doing it.
So if someone came to our office asking for minutes, and I do, and they ask for quite a few, and I go ahead and do it, I do not charge my pay rate. Because, believe it or not, there's other people in the office that could do it, but they're busy with something else that are at a lower pay rate. So I charge their pay rate.
Right.
So where do we stand right now on people who are actually using us for their business and making multiple requests, although maybe one at a time, but all over the month?
I don't see that we have a choice to do it any other way. I mean, we are required to put, if we have a document that we're maintaining, we are required to provide a copy of that document. And yeah, I know how much work it is because that's what we do all the time.
That's where when you do the PSR, it doubles your amount of manpower on that issue.
It absolutely does.
Yeah.
We're just here.
I'm sorry.
No, you go ahead, sir.
Well, I was just going to say, for purposes of the discussion, I mean, say you have one person who calls two times in a month and asks for one document. I think we have to make a judgment call about, does it make sense to run every one of those through the formal process? And it depends on what document we're talking about, right? I mean, we're not talking about specifics here. So if it's a property record card or if it's someone's paid tax bill from last year, or, well, I mean, we can talk about whatever example you want to. If it's two times a month, one time, and it's one record, I think you have to use your judgment. That doesn't make sense to make them go through the formal PSR process. If they call a couple times a month and they ask for 15 or 20 records each time, then I think that it's appropriate. And I wouldn't want to guess if I was getting it right in that situation. I mean, because we always try and get them to put it in writing. They're not obligated to do that. Sometimes we have folks who refuse to put it in writing, and so we have to take down a good understanding of what they're asking for. But, you know, and I realize that that may just be one person a couple times a month. But, I mean, say if you get 10 people a couple times a month, I mean, that's 20 requests. Do we double the work for 20 requests on going through a formal PSR or not? Again, I think it depends upon how complicated the request is. Is it simple? Can it easily be done, you know, in 30 seconds or less? Or is it something that's going to take some time and effort and, you know, require some thought?
A rule of thumb that I was taught in the office, if it's under 5 minutes to get it taken care of, don't worry about charging it.
Madam Collector?
Sometimes I get requests that are really detailed, wanting like 3 years worth of tax sales, all the properties offered, how much the taxes were, how much they sold for. And that would be a lot of work, but what I know that they're actually wanting is the surplus report. And so I ask them that, can you narrow your request? Because if you're really just wanting the surplus, then can you say that? And then they'll be back, say yes. So therefore, I haven't done what they've actually first asked. Is that fair enough?
Yeah, I mean, if they've modified the request, I mean, the only thing I get worried about is if somebody asks for 20 things over 5 years, and you talk to them, have that conversation, and if they still insist on, yeah, I want all that, then I think that's a formal PSR, and we've got to research it and probably get a deposit and fulfill the request that way. But you're right. Sometimes folks don't know the right question to ask, and so if you talk to them for 2 minutes and you realize that's all they're really wanting is the surplus report, it may be just as easy to provide that to them than it is to research the 5 years and the 20 records. So, I mean, I agree with that. If you can ever get someone to winnow and filter down what they're asking or them understand what they actually need to ask for,